Good morning, everyone. I hope that everyone can hear me okay. Can you give me a thumbs up if you can? Okay. If you will take out your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. We're going to be beginning here in John chapter 13. So I had originally planned earlier this week to continue our study through Ecclesiastes that we began last week. As the week went on, got to thinking about how needful this lesson was just in this time right now. The exhortation that Jesus gives us in this chapter to his disciples to love one another. And you might remember that in the book of John, Jesus gives his disciples, he sits down with them right before he goes to the cross here in chapter 13 through 17, and he just talks to them in a very personal way. And this is really Jesus' final sermon, if you will, before he goes to the cross. And what he says in this section is of just paramount importance, but especially what he says here. So I just want to begin by reading with you John chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come that he would depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" So what I want to talk with you today is what Jesus does here, and the significance of his actions here in washing the disciples' feet. I want to share with you the importance of loving one another. Secondly, the impact that we can have when we love one another. And then as we close the lesson, just make some applications to our current circumstances and how we can love one another. So first of all, the importance of loving one another here. As we read these verses, I hope that you noticed something significant in the first three verses. If you have studied or read through the Gospel of John before, you are familiar with how simple John's writing is. He just tells us in short sentences what Jesus does or what he says. But here in the first three verses, John kind of lays the sentences on top of one another. He's showing us that this is a crucial moment in Jesus' ministry. Notice verse 1, Jesus knew that his hour had come. And throughout the gospel, we see Jesus saying, "My hour has not yet come. My hour is not yet. It's not the right time." But here in chapter 13, the hour had come. This is a crucial moment in Jesus' ministry. In verse 2, it says, "The devil has already put into the heart of Judas to betray him." And Jesus knows this. Jesus is about to experience the most painful of all experiences that he has ever had in his life. And in verse 3, Jesus knows that all things have been given into his hands, that he has come forth from God, was going back to God. The point that I'm making here is that in this crucial moment in Jesus' ministry, just before he goes to the cross, what would you expect him to do? Would you expect him to perform another final miracle to demonstrate his greatness and his power to his disciples, to really seal the deal of their faith, that Jesus really is the Son of God? That's not what he does here. Instead, we see him humbling himself and serving. In verse 4, he gets up from supper, lays aside his garments, and takes a towel and girds himself, and he begins washing the disciples' feet. washing the feet of your guests was the job of a servant. It wasn't the job of the master of the home. It was the job for the lowly servant. And what's most amazing about this is that you put this in the context of all of the Gospel of John. John tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God himself. He begins in John chapter 1 saying that the Word was God. Jesus, the Word become flesh, God become flesh, is God himself. John also tells us that we beheld the glory of God. Jesus, throughout the Gospel of John, makes I am statements to connect himself to God the Father. I am who I am, as God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. So in this moment of his ministry, Jesus, the Son of God, takes upon the role of a servant. And Jackson read for us from Philippians chapter 2 before the Lord's table. That is such a great passage that correlates to this, because Jesus did not consider himself to be equal with God in the sense that he, you know, could take advantage of that. He didn't try to make himself look better than anyone else. Surely he is God and he was God, but he took the form of a servant, Paul tells us in Philippians. So here we see the Son of God himself washing their feet as a servant. What's even more surprising, I think, is that if you continue reading here in John 13, Jesus not only washes the disciples' feet, the feet of his friends, but the feet of his enemies. In verse 10, Jesus said to Peter, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." Jesus is talking to Peter about how he needs to let Jesus do this to him. But he says, not all of you are clean. And in verse 11, he explains that. "For he knew the one who was betraying him, and for this reason he said, not all of you are clean." Jesus washes the feet of Judas, the one that he knows that he is about to be betrayed by, that he is going to be hurt by. Jesus serves his enemy here. The question is, why does he do this? Well, read with me verse 12. "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" Now, certainly they could have answered that question, "Yeah, you just washed our feet, Jesus," but he's not just asking them to regurgitate what he just did. But what does it mean? What does it mean that God washes their feet? "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Jesus is teaching us here the importance that we need of loving one another. He is our example of love and service. If we ever get to thinking that we don't have the responsibility to love one another, think about what Jesus does in this moment. Truly, Jesus loved us on the cross, but he loved us even before that, so much so that he humbled himself and did this job that only a servant would do. The second thing I want you to consider is the impact of loving one another. Let's continue reading in John 13, dropping down to verse 31. John 13, 31. "Therefore, when he had gone out," speaking of Judas going out to make preparations to betray Jesus, "Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him immediately.'" Notice again, Jesus is saying, this is a big moment. This is the time when I am about to be glorified and that God is going to be glorified in what I do. But what does he leave them with? What is his message to them, his disciples, before the cross? "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus is teaching his disciples the lesson that he taught them about serving them. How do we serve one another? We do that by loving each other. Notice that Jesus says this is a new commandment. This isn't new in the sense of they had never heard this before. Remember that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So what does he mean this is a new commandment? Well, I think when we consider the command to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, it takes on a whole new meaning, takes us to a whole new level when we understand what Jesus did for us. When we understand that God became flesh and he washed our feet and he did that for our sins, then that takes love to a whole new level. We understand the depth that God of love that God has for us and the depth of love that we ought to have for one another. I think this is exhibited in a good passage in 1 John chapter 3. And this is a companion passage to John chapter 3, verse 16, where we read that God loved the world in this way that he gave his son. That verse tells us what God does when he loves us, or what he did to show us his love. These verses tell us what we do to show our love. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. John says, we know love by this. I mean, by this, we can define love. And more than that, we can't just define it, but we live love by following Jesus's example. We know love by this, that he gave his life for us, and that we lay our own lives down for the brethren. Now, that seems really extreme to lay down your life for someone else. Surely we would do that for our children, our spouses. But Jesus and John isn't teaching us here that it's always just, taking a bullet for someone or jumping in front of the bus for someone else. Not in just those extreme ways, but in the simple, mundane actions of life. Notice in verse 17, if you have the world's goods and you see your brother in need and you close your heart against him, how can you say that you love God? This new commandment is exhibited in simple but very sacrificial ways whenever we see each other's needs and we're looking out for one another. And when we do that, Jesus teaches us that that is going to make an impact on the world. You know, when all of this coronavirus stuff passes, what is the world going to remember about Christians? Are they going to remember that we served? What are our neighbors going to remember about this time? Are they going to remember that we just closed ourselves off from them? But are they going to remember that we reached out to them during this time? What are we as brethren going to remember? That we shut each other out, or that we opened the doors for one another, the doors of our heart, that we would be there for one another? Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So the encouragement that I have for you is just to love one another. Jesus repeats this several times throughout his last sermon here to his disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. And again, this I command you, that you love one another. Now, I want to stop sharing my screen now because I want to make some applications, and I want to make this personal because this is about each other. This is about real life. This is about right now and how we can show love to one another. There are three applications that I want to bring up here, and these are applications that I hope will impact you in some way, challenge you to love your brethren and love others more during this time. The first thing that I'd like to say is that right now is a time that our love is truly being tested, but this is also a time that we can let our love be deepened. Don't just let your love be tested. Let your love be deepened. First of all, deepen your love for your brethren. I think we've seen this in play in some of our men's discussions that we've had as we've tried to talk about and decide what's the best arrangement for how we worship. We've seen this really come into play, and we've had to exercise this love for one another, listen to one another. We've seen each other give each other the benefit of the doubt. We've seen each other not assume the worst of one another as we've expressed our thoughts, our feelings about the situation. And I do want to tell you that I think that we are deepening our love for one another in this situation. We're asking ourselves, you know, what's the most loving action? But it goes deeper than just making decisions. It goes into a relationship that we're building with our brethren in Christ. Let your love be deepened with your brethren during this time. But also, on that same point, let your love be deepened for those that you're close to. You know, I know that not everyone is in the same situation, but if you're stuck at home with your family during this stay-at-home order, this is a time that we have to an opportunity to deepen our love together as families. And, you know, there are certain challenges, unique challenges that arise when we're at home. We get on each other's nerves. We get in each other's way. We see each other's faults more throughout the day. But these are also unique times to deepen our love for our spouses, to spend time with our children that maybe we would never spend if we were working our normal jobs as we, you know, normally do. Or this is a time for us to deepen our love for those that we are close to. These are unique times. Don't just let this time test your love. Let this time deepen your love. Application number two is that in order to do that, in order to let this time deepen our love, we're going to have to go an extra mile to show love to one another. It's hard enough to love one another when we are together sometimes. It's even harder to love one another when we're not face-to-face, when we're not personally together. So we're going to have to be extra intentional during this time to reach out to one another, to show the kindness that the Lord has shown us. I want to illustrate this point by using what I call an illustration called the bubble effect. Our kids love to blow bubbles, and whenever they blow these bubbles outside, you know, they start in small clusters and close together, right? But as the wind blows them, what do? They start scattering and getting further and further apart. You and I are living in our own metaphorical bubbles right now. We're concerned about our own selves and our own families. We're less in contact with one another and outside people and our coworkers and even in brethren in Christ. We're less familiar with one another during this time, what's going on with one another. And as that happens, and as it continues to happen, and for longer and longer, the more spread apart we're going to become, the further apart we're going to grow, we're going to drift. And I want to encourage you to understand that that is happening, and that we must be extra intentional to keep that from continuing to happen. Don't let the bubble effect keep us apart. One of the things I think we're being reminded of during this time is that our relationship as brethren in Christ has to be more than just the few times we see each other during the week for worship. And we make that point when we're together in the building, whenever things are normal, that we make the point that we need to be spending time with each other outside of those assembly times. But I've been reminded so much of that during this time. When we can't be together physically at the building, what's left? You know, do we have a relationship with one another when we're not physically assembling? There's more to our relationships than just seeing each other for worship. And especially during this time when we see each other even less, just for these Zoom meetings, it is so important that we go an extra mile to reach out to one another and make those connections. So I want to give you a challenge this week. I want to challenge you to reach out to someone at the Westfield Church and make connection with someone in a way that you probably would not have done had things not changed. Maybe it's a phone call that you make to ask someone how they're doing, not just how you're doing, you know, physically, how are you feeling, but how are you doing spiritually? Are you encouraged during this time? Or what can I do to lift you up or build you up? You know, there's this thought that we don't want to be the one that says, I'm feeling discouraged or I'm feeling isolated or disconnected right now. But you know what? We're all feeling that right now. So don't worry about that. Pick up the phone, call someone, FaceTime, set up a Zoom meeting, you know, text. Make a connection with someone this week that you would not have made had things not changed. Go the extra mile to show love to one another. And finally, my last application is I want to tell you that we are one. We remain as one, even though we may be separated. We're all in our homes. There's a small group at the building today, but we remain as one, even though we're separated. How can I say that? Well, I say that because of a passage in Colossians chapter 3. This is a passage that one of the men brought up in our latest men's discussion about how we're going to work it out for us to be together for these worships. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." It's that last verse that really calls us to be bonded in unity. How do we stay unified during this time? It's through love. Love is the glue that brings us together. It is not a physical building that brings us together. Yes, we're longing for that day, and hopefully soon we'll be able to be together in one place. But it's not a physical building that brings us together. What really brings us together is our relationship to one another. Those relationships we have to encourage and lift up one another in the Lord. I believe that we will come out of this situation with stronger empathy, with stronger compassion, with stronger love. You know, if we can stay unified during a time like this, I don't think there is ever going to be a time that can destroy the unity and the love that we have for one another. If we love as Christ has loved us, there is nothing, there is no circumstance that can destroy the love that we have for one another. Again, we are one because we love one another. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Lord and Father, we're thankful that we can call you our Father together. We can be together in a time like this. We're thankful for the technology we have that we can be together in some way. You are our Father. We are all your children. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his example of love. Help us during this time to wash each other's feet, to be there for one another, to lift up one another, to make those connections that will remind each other that our love is still vibrant, that our unity remains. Lord, we pray fervently for a time when we will be back together again. We pray this week that you'll keep us strong, that you'll keep us physically healthy, and even more importantly, spiritually healthy. Lord, we also pray for elders at the church at Westfield, men who will rise up to the challenge of shepherding this flock to lead us in times like this. We pray that you'll bless us with those men in the future. We pray that we will love one another as you have taught us to. In Christ I pray, amen. Well, as we conclude the lesson this morning, just want to remind you that the invitation to respond to the gospel is always open. If you need to be baptized or you need prayers, let me know. Reach out to me or someone else. Let someone know. We can always baptize you. The building is still open for that. Whatever need you have, let us know. And don't let the situation stop you. So we're going to sing a song right now to remind us of our relationship to God. And the love that the Lord has for us.